Hello again. We're coming to you from the trenches. I'm Rita Sand.
For over 10 years, Vera Shirov has battled almost single-handedly with the New York authorities to come clean over the use of children in drug trials.
Would they have done those experiments to their own children? I doubt it.
Today, we talk about an explosive BBC documentary that aired last November, but don't expect to see it in this country. Guinea Pig Kids documents the use of New York City foster children for clinical trials using drugs with serious or lethal side effects. We will play audio clips from the film and speak with investigative reporter Liam Sheff, whose articles led to the documentary. And despite last month's inauguration of President Bush, the fight to re-recount the vote in Ohio continues. We'll get an update on the state of the 2004 vote investigation. For breaking indie media headlines in Chicago and around the world, visit our internet address at www.chicago.indymedia.org. We're coming to you from the trenches. Although antiretroviral drugs used for HIV and AIDS therapy are touted as life-saving, doctors acknowledge that their side effects are debilitating and can be lethal. Liver failure, which now ranks as the primary killer of those suffering from AIDS, is actually a side effect of AIDS therapies. In December, Dr. Jonathan Fishbein, a whistleblower at the National Institutes of Health, or NIH AIDS Institute, was fired for revealing that his boss, Dr. Edmund Tremont, covered up the negative results of a clinical trial study in Uganda on nevirapine, a drug promoted to stop mother-to-child transmission of HIV in Africa. Tremont deleted the infant deaths and thousands of dangerous side effects of those on nevirapine. Nevirapine has not been licensed in this country for use in infants and children, yet it has been used on an experimental basis on infants and children in at least one place in this country, on foster children in New York City. And it's not the only experimental drug with devastating side effects used on foster children under the care of ACS or the Administration of Children's Services. The BBC documentary Guinea Pig Kids begins with a case of a child named Garfield.
In the Bronx, three grandchildren try to bring their grandmother up to date with the latest fashions.
Well, let's just see that.
Okay, John.
But two people are missing from this picture. Veronica Momadou recently died of AIDS. It was left to her mother, Regina, to bring up three granddaughters and a grandson, Garfield, who's HIV positive. Veronica and Regina had wanted to have a say in the treatment Garfield received. But instead, the New York authorities insisted Garfield stay on drugs and medicines, which even the other children could see were making him ill.
When he was drinking the medicine, sometimes at night, it was in the summertime, so at night he would say, "Mommy, I'm cold. Or he would itch his body all over, nonstop.
And every time he said, he was cold. My aunt went to the animal to put the heat up. He put the heat up a lot of times, but he kept saying he was cold.
Is this why your family decided to stop the medicine?
Yeah, my aunt stopped it because he wasn't feeling comfortable.
And he started to get well. But when she went for a checkup, they gave him the medicine again without her knowing it.
And did he get sick again?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what type of medicine they were given.
Regina, an African immigrant and mother of Veronica, recounts the story of how her daughter was offered $25 a month to put Garfield on experimental drugs. When her daughter refused, Garfield was taken by ACS on the grounds that the mother would not medicate the child for his HIV status.
There's a story in the movie about a little boy who was taken from his mother. Well, a lot of the story didn't get into the movie.
Investigative reporter Liam Sheff wrote Orphans on Trial, an article in the New York Press that was one in a series of his articles that broke the story about ACS using children in clinical trials and drugging children against their parents' wishes.
His mother's an African immigrant, and she came over, and she wasn't sick, but I guess she tested positive or whatever they think that means. They took the kid from her when he was just very little, even wanted to drug him, and then she fought and got him back, and then they did it again. And that was the one that was on the basis of the clinical trial. They wanted him to be in a clinical trial, and she said no. And then they found a reason to take him. And they took him, and they took the kid away. And the mother, now the grandmother is in the movie. If you watch the movie, the BBC movie, Guinea Pig Kids. Well, the reason the mother is in the movie is that she died. They took the boy from her. She has three or four other kids. And I was speaking with her on a fairly regular basis, and she was becoming more and more panicked and more distraught because she did not want her child to be on AZT, and she didn't know where he was in New York City, and they wouldn't tell her, and she couldn't go see him. And this is like a 2 or 3 years, this is a very young child that she loved very, very, very much. So she started to panic, and she started to have fainting episodes, nervous episodes. Well, she had one, she had a kind of mild seizure. They took her into the hospital, and they began to give her the drugs that they like to give people who they say have AIDS. And within 3 weeks, she was dead. And I was in New York the day that she died. She was going to be in the movie. You know, I don't think AIDS kills people in 3 weeks, but, you know, AZT could.
This Catholic-run home, the Incarnation Children's Center in Harlem, is where many HIV children end up if their parents or guardians refuse to medicate them. For years, it was the center of highly controversial and secretive drug trials on orphans and foster children as young as 3 months old.
A facility that specializes in treating children with HIV who are in the foster care system is the Incarnation Children's Center.
Incarnation Children's Center is an orphanage in New York City. It was established by the Catholic Church, and it was run actually by nuns for a number of years.
Investigative reporter Liam Sheff.
It didn't start as a really bad place. It was a place where mothers, generally who were on drugs, not able to care for their children, would leave their kids, and the kids would sort of be taken care of, and they would need medical supervision because they were born to parents who used opiates, and, you know, it's damaging to be born that way. And this was Incarnation Children's Center. It was run by the Catholic Church, the Catholic Home Bureau in New York, the Archdiocese of New York. It was also an orphanage, so it was receiving state money for every child and every bed that they filled. That's sort of the way it works. In, I think, 92, I don't have the paper in front of me, but I think in 92, the NIH, National Institutes of Health, our government medical pharmaceutical bureaucracy, decided that this little orphanage in New York would be a good place to test AIDS drugs and some other kinds of drugs, actually. So they gave Incarnation Children's Center, which is run in the parent hospital is Columbia Presbyterian. So you've got all these big names, Columbia Presbyterian, Columbia University, the church, the Catholic Church, the Archdiocese, the NIH. The NIH starts funding the place to run clinical trials, and within a couple of years they're up and running and testing AZT in large doses and nevirapine.
Sheff found out about Incarnation Children's Center, or ICC, through a foster mother he called Mona, whose two foster children, Mona's actual grandniece and nephew, Sean and Dana, were taken into ICC and given AIDS drugs. Sean started on AZT shortly after his birth.
They decided he needed AZT after he was born. Within a few weeks, he was put on this drug, which is a very dangerous drug.
Okay, but did his mother test positive for HIV? Was that the reasoning behind it?
I guess. I mean, we can talk about... I've done a lot of research into what HIV positive means, and...
But just for the purposes now of trying to figure out the rationale on the establishment side for actually doing this.
The rationale on the establishment side is that they have these tests, their antibody tests or their genetic tests. They're not standardized. They have no set point at which is positive or negative. But for certain groups, what they call risk groups, they determine that the predictive value of these tests is more than for other groups. So the mother was black, and she was a drug user, and that falls into the high-risk category. Therefore, according to the statistical analysis they do, they have a thing called Bayes' rule or something like that. It's sort of irrelevant, but that's the way they interpret it. So from the statistical point of view in the medical profession, they believe that she was what we call in the public HIV positive. Two very, very different ideas of what HIV positive exist in the medical profession and in the public sphere. In the public sphere, we would have called her HIV positive. So the rationale was given that this was so. So they probably drugged her with AZT before the boy was born. She was on AZT. Then he was born, and they drugged him with AZT, and AZT kills mucosal cells, which means it destroys your gastrointestinal tract, so he couldn't eat. So they put a tube up his nose, and he ate through a tube for the first 3 years of his life or so, 2.5, 3 years of his life, liquid, Pediasure, through a tube, and they drugged him with AZT through a tube. And he didn't grow, and he, you know, was stunted. And so he was in foster care at Incarnation Children's Center for the first few years of his life.
Was he in a clinical trial at this time?
I don't know.
Okay, so this isn't talking about clinical trials here. This is just talking about a child that was on AIDS drugs without the parents' permission.
Yeah, well, you don't have to ask permission. You just tell the mother that we're going to take your child because you're not able to care for your child. There's no consent that needs to be made. The state decides at that point. It's the arbiter of what happens. I've talked with Mona about this, at length, and there's a good probability that both children were on clinical trials in their first few years of life because both of them were on AZT. And AZT at that point in the early 90s would have been a drug that was being used in clinical trials to test for sort of surrogate marker activity in children, because they don't see if it makes you better or worse. They look for things like viral load. So it's pretty likely, but the documents are sort of hard to dig up. I know that he was on a clinical trial at one point. I don't know if it's at that point, but he was on AZT, and they kept him on that. And then she got him, and she demanded that the tube be taken out of his nose, and she had to teach him how to eat and brush his gums with brushes to stimulate saliva production. And she fed him consistently and drugged him consistently according to protocol, and he didn't grow, and he couldn't move, and he was lethargic, and he could sort of not function. And this is a bright woman, and she's got a master's degree in education, and she's no dummy. And she started paying attention to what happened when certain drugs were given, and it seemed that the drug, which was AZT, which was called Retrovir, was primarily the drug, and Bactrim as well, the drug that when she gave it to him, he felt really dead. He just felt dead. He just couldn't lift his arms, and they were skinny and wasting. So she cut down the dose, and she continued to cut down the dose, and she saw that he was able to eat a little bit more, and she continued to cut down the dose, and he was able to sort of get up a little bit. And, you know, eventually she stopped giving the little boy AZT. And it was not immediate, according to her, but within, 8 weeks, 6 weeks, he could walk. And she was stunned, you know, because this boy had never really done anything like that. He'd been a sort of a basket case, really. And then within a couple months, he was running and playing with other kids, and she was very excited, very pleased. So she went to the hospital and to the doctors and said, "I have great news. He's up, he's walking, he's running, and I took him off AZT." Well, she had a knock on her door the next day, more or less, and the ACS, Administration for Children's Services, came and said, "We hear you're not giving the drug, and we're going to monitor and make sure you give him this drug."
Chef says Mona did not know that some of the drugs used at ICC were experimental.
She didn't know anything about clinical trials. She just said that the kids were being drugged there in a way that made them very, very sick. And I asked her about what kind of drugs they were using. She told me she knew they were using AZT, and she knew that they were using nevirapine, and they were using some other, you know, broad-spectrum, pretty toxic antibiotics like Bactrim, which is a lot less toxic in some ways than AZT. And I started poking around. So I looked, and Incarnation Children's Center used to have a website which told people very proudly that they did clinical trials. I mean, they were very, very proud of this fact. They said, "And we're offering clinical trials to these kids." And so I looked up the clinical trials, and I went to the NIH database, and the NIH database makes its clinical trial registry public, thank goodness. If they didn't, we'd certainly be living in a culture of great, great secrecy, great, great medical secrecy. But they make it public, and you can research what clinical trials are going on. And I just did a, you know, reference for Incarnation Children's Center, and I found that 27 or so studies were ongoing or recently completed at Incarnation Children's Center. And then when I looked up the parent hospital, there were about 200 studies going on, not with adults, with children, specifically with children. And then you could cross-reference AZT and nevirapine.
But these are not just any children. Chef says they are mostly children who test positive for HIV or whose mothers tested positive.
We found documentation listing some of the experiments carried out on HIV children at the home. One was for treating herpes. Another involved giving children double doses of the measles vaccine. And yet others involved whole cocktails of drugs with side effects admitted by the manufacturers, including severe stomach pain, muscle wastage, organ failure, and many more.